Right, the first Bible reading, I've chosen one from the New Testament, a very short one, and one from the Old Testament, a bit longer. And the New Testament is Acts chapter 4, verse 36 to 37, and it's on page 1035. Chapter 4, verse 36 to 37. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and bought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. That's the first one. Okay, the next one is in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 17. I'll get you the number now. 17. And that one is on page 343. Okay, 343. 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. Starting on verse 9. Okay, 343, starting verse 9. This is about Elijah and the widow at Zarephath. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I've instructed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I might have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Now, you may wonder, well, what has Barnabas, the subject of the first reading, got to do with Elijah? It was several hundred years before Barnabas. But they were both encouragers. And that's what I'd like to speak about this evening, encouraging. Barnabas is one of the key characters in the Acts of the Apostles. Barnabas was a nickname given to him by the apostles. And this nickname reflected his character and that essential goodness and integrity that shaped it. His real name was Joseph. And this name shows what kind of man he was. The Joseph of Genesis in the Old Testament suffered much, but this built up his character. He was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, and spent time as a slave. He was falsely accused and convicted and spent time in prison. But God was with him throughout these trials, and his character developed positively. Perhaps similar things happened to Barnabas, making him so important to the early Christians. This is what the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 1 verse 7. "For this very reason, do your best to add goodness to your faith. To your goodness, add knowledge. To your knowledge, add self-control. to your self-control add endurance, to your endurance add godliness, and to your godliness add Christian affection, and to your Christian affection add love. We know little about the personal life of Barnabas, but we can glean a lot about his character for what we read about him in the book of Acts. And the first reference that we have is in those verses which I read out from chapter 4. So it was that Joseph, a Levite, born in Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means one who encourages. Barnabas was generous. He sold the field he owned, bought the money, and handed it over to the apostles. Barnabas was therefore a Jew and a Levite, which was something special. Levites and priests could not own land in Israel, but perhaps this ban was not enforced at the time. There is no indication at this time of a large pressing financial need in the early church at this point. So Barnabas' generous gift speaks of a spontaneous and joyous act of love. It shows generosity and humility as he acknowledges the apostles' authority and submits to them. He gave the gift to the apostles with no strings attached, as we say, for them to use as they thought best. There's a lovely reference to Barnabas' character in Acts 11, verse 24, where we read, Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and many people were brought to the Lord because of him. He was considered trustworthy. It's little wonder that at a later date, when someone was needed to carry a financial gift from the church in Antioch to the famine-afflicted believers in Jerusalem, Barnabas was chosen. So we read this in Acts 11. About that time, some prophets went from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and by the power of the Spirit predicted that a severe famine was about to come over all the earth. It came about when Claudius was emperor. So Claudius was an emperor in about AD 50. The disciples decided that they would send as much as they could to help their fellow believers who lived in Judea. They did this then and sent the money to the church elders by Barnabas and Saul. So Barnabas was trusted. Barnabas also worked for a living so that he would not be a burden to anybody else. And Paul defended himself in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 6 by saying that Barnabas and himself are not a burden to anyone else but work for a living. Somebody must have accused him, you see, of sponging off people. But he said, no, he worked for a living. He was a tent maker. Barnabas was a passionate evangelist and accompanied Paul on one of his missionary journeys. They were witnessing in Asia Minor, that's modern Turkey, in Iconium. Many people, both Jew and Gentile, were becoming believers. They encountered problems, though, from unbelievers who stirred up trouble against them. But they spoke boldly about the Lord and proved that their message about his grace was true by giving the apostles the power to perform miracles and wonders. They divided people's opinion about them. Some were for them, some were against them, but they were brave and had to face stoning so severe that they fled to another town. Stoning was reserved for heretics and it could be fatal. Once they were down on the ground, somebody would deliver a coup de grace with a large rock on the head, so it was always fatal. Sadly, they're still stoning in some parts of the world. They fled to a city called Lystra, about 20 miles from Iconium. And undeterred, Paul was still witnessing, and a man lame from birth listened intently to Paul's words. Paul saw that the man believed in the gospel and could be healed. He told him to stand straight on his feet, and he then jumped up and started walking around. When the people watching saw this miracle, they thought that the pagan gods had come down to earth, because they worship Greek pagan gods in that city. And they call Barnabas Zeus, the main god, and they call Paul Hermes, the messenger of the gods. The crowds wanted to sacrifice to the apostles. They brought oxen. The priests of these two gods brought oxen, and they're going to sacrifice to these two men. Now the apostles were aghast at this reaction. They tore their clothes and ran into the crowd shouting, "Why are you doing this? We ourselves are only human beings like you. We're here to announce the good news to you, for you to turn away from these useless things to the living God. Barnabas retained the humility he showed in the early days when he sold the land and gave the money raised to the apostles. Even when he was acclaimed by adoring crowds, he was horrified by this and passionately urged them to worship God alone. Barnabas also had the wonderful gift of always seeing the best of others and thinking well about them. This is what we read about love. Very well known reading in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 5 to 7. It applies to Barnabas. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope and patience never fail. Love is eternal. There are inspired messages, but they're temporary. There are gifts of speaking in strange tongues, but they will cease. There is knowledge, but it will pass. Barnabas had this kind of love, and no doubt this is how he earned his nickname. Barnabas was the first in Jerusalem to believe that Saul, the persecutor, was truly converted. Saul, a Pharisee, was vehemently against the early Christian church. You can read about this in Acts. He persecuted them, arrested them, and probably sentenced them to death. Indeed, just before his dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus, he was traveling to Damascus to harass and arrest the Christians who lived there. But of course, we know he had this conversion and he never carried out his mission. Not surprisingly, the Christians were very, very wary of Saul. They didn't quite believe he was converted, found it difficult to trust him. Barnabas, however, saw something new and wonderful in Saul. And we read in Acts 9, 26 to 27, Saul went to Jerusalem and tried to join the disciples. But they would not believe that he was a disciple, and they were all afraid of him. Then Barnabas came to his help and took him to the disciples, to the apostles. He explained to them how Saul had seen the Lord on the road to Damascus, and that the Lord had spoken to him. He also told them how boldly Saul had preached in the name of Jesus in Damascus. Barnabas acted on his belief that Saul was transformed, and he took Saul to the apostles and commended him to them as his sponsor or guarantor. I mean, it was a big thing to do, think the reputation that Saul had. Later, Barnabas sought out Saul and brought him to Antioch to minister alongside him amongst the new Christians there. So he trusted him. Paul and Barnabas spent some time in Antioch where they preached the gospel and the word of the Lord. But this does not mean that they agreed about everything. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him and Paul on one of their missionary journeys. But Paul did not think it was right to take John Mark because he had not stayed with them to the end of their mission. You know, you can tell by reading the epistles that Paul was a man of very determined views. So when he didn't like something, he said it. So he said it here, and he fell out with Barnabas. They went their different ways, unfortunately. Barnabas taking John Mark, and Paul chose Silas and left. Barnabas saw the potential of John Mark and championed him, determined to give him another opportunity after maybe he failed the first time. After Stephen was martyred, the believers scattered and travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, telling the gospel message to Jews only. Other disciples of believers who were from Cyprus and Cyrene, that's in North Africa, went to Antioch and proclaimed the gospel to the Gentiles also, telling them about the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's power was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The news about this reached the church in Jerusalem, so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. His reputation as encourager and bridge builder stood him in good stead, as he represented the Christians at Antioch. There were Jews and Gentiles in the Christian church of Antioch. This might have caused some Jewish Christians to hold back because they weren't supposed to mix with Gentiles at that time, but not Barnabas. When he arrived at Antioch and he saw how God had blessed the people, he was glad and urged them all to be faithful and true to the Lord with all of their hearts. Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and undoubtedly affected many people positively for the Lord. It was not just as Antioch where Barnabas cared tenderly for new believers. We see his pastoral heart, his desire to protect and strengthen in many other places. For example, Derbe, there had been trouble for Paul and Barnabas throughout Asia Minor. The gospel was resisted by many people. They were stoned by angry Jews at Iconium and fled to Lystra and Derbe. The Jews followed the apostles to Lystra and stoned Paul again. But he was protected by the apostles and Christians. He recovered and left with Barnabas for Derbe. Their lives were constantly at risk, but they never gave up. Paul and Barnabas preached the good news in Derbe and won many disciples. They then travelled back along Asia Minor, visiting the towns they had witnessed in. They strengthened the believers and encouraged them to remain true to the faith. They taught the believers that they would pass through many troubles before entering the kingdom of God. They appointed elders in each church and with prayers and fasting commended them to the Lord. Barnabas was bold and brave, repeatedly enduring hardship and persecution for the sake of the gospel. Barnabas went on. He was persistent. He was a trier. When John Mark gave up, and he spoke up for what was right, he could see something in Saul, who became Paul, which other people didn't see. His determination to restore John Mark was so great that even when he fell out with Paul, he went ahead with it. He also confronted fellow Christians on the issue of Gentile believers because they had problems accepting them. According to tradition, this is not recorded in the Bible. In 61 AD, in the city of Salamis in Cyprus, Barnabas was dragged out of a synagogue where he was preaching gospel by Jews who were infuriated by the success of his ministry and was stoned to death, very sadly. He had preached with Paul in the same synagogue at the beginning of their first missionary journey together. Barnabas' death reflects what the Lord Jesus Christ said would happen to his followers. They will put you out of the synagogues. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they're offering a service to God. Very sadly, this is still happening to Christians in different parts of the world. Just reading a Barnabas Fund daily reading yesterday, I think it was, and two Christians were killed in Syria. It's not at peace in Syria at all. And they were killed, shot in their car, as they were doing humanitarian work. So it's still going on. Now, I looked up encourage in the dictionary, and it means to put courage in someone, to inspire with spirit or hope, and to cherish. I think Barnabas did all those. But the Bible is full of examples of people who did just that. And Paul, at the end of most of his epistles, lists the people that have helped him, particularly when in difficulties. If you read the end of any of his epistles, he always lists the people who have helped him or he wants to be referred to. When Paul was in prison, this last imprisonment, he writes rather sadly in 2 Timothy 4 verse 11, "Only Luke was with me. Everybody else had deserted him." Luke was his strengthener and encourager. Now, we've just read in 1 Kings 17 about Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. The widow and her son were starving when Elijah arrived and asked for some food. It may seem rather a difficult request that Elijah made. He probably could see that she was in difficulties. But he had no hesitation in asking her to make him a loaf of bread, even though he probably guessed this would be her last source of food. But this was a test for the widow, and she passed the test. She unselfishly provided him with a small loaf. She became Elijah's encourager. You know, he must have been pretty hungry and thirsty himself, having travelled all the way from his home just to this place that God had sent him to. But Elijah became her encourager when he said that the Lord had told him that the oil and flour would not run out until the famine was over. So he encouraged her. They encouraged each other. When Elijah was taken up to heaven in the chariots of fire, he gave his mantle to Elisha, his protege and his disciple. And Elisha was also an encourager. And we read in 2 Kings about when he was travelling about the country, he had no base, he had nowhere to stay. So this very wealthy woman thought to herself, right, well, he hasn't got anywhere to stay, I'll build a room for him on my roof. So whenever he's in the area, he can stay in that room. And he did. Now, she had no children, but eventually she had a child, a son. And he became very ill. And she thought he died. So she sent for Elisha. And Elisha put his staff on the child. And eventually he came back to life. And I like to think that this woman was Elisha's encourager at the beginning, but Elisha became her encourager and saving her son. Sometimes encouragers can be supernatural. Now, did you ever think of that? When Elijah was exhausted physically and mentally and fleeing the wrath of Jezebel, he lay down exhausted. He lay down under a tree and slept. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said, "Wake up and eat." He looked around and saw a loaf of bread and a jar of water near his head. This revived Elijah, and after it happened a second time, gave him the strength to reach his destination. I'm just going to give you two examples now of possibly modern examples of this happening. A woman called Louise suffered from muscular dystrophy. When trying to exit a train station one day, she found herself facing a long flight of stairs without a lift or an escalator. She suddenly saw a man appear, pick up her bag, and gently help her up the stairs. When she turned to thank him, he was gone. On another occasion, somebody called Michael was late for a meeting and was struggling with heavy London traffic. Suddenly, he had a flat tire. As he stood helplessly in the rain, a man stepped out of the crowd, opened the boot, picked up the jack, jacked up the car, and changed the wheel. When Michael turned to thank him, he was gone. We do not know who these mysterious helpers were, kind strangers or something more. Either way, they were encouragers. Encouragers have empathy and sympathy with others. This is what Paul says about Timothy in Philippians 2, verse 20. He is the only one who shares my feelings and who really cares about you. Encouragers show love. And Paul again says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 12, may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow more and more. We can all be encouragers. A kind word, a greeting, a phone call or a card. We all appreciate them from time to time. And I know there's lots and lots of people in this chapel who are encouragers, probably everybody. But I thought I'd share that with you. Amen. Amen.